Andrea Lanyon, Kate Institute. One comment and one question. Comment concerning your beautiful statement, Steve, and the comments. I think one issue, probably you are a little bit exaggerating so-called anthropomorphism in these security and military issues. Russia thinks, Russia decides, Russia moves. In many cases, it's not Russia. It's just few people, sometimes just one person. And I think to put equal sign between the whole country, more than 140 million and one person or few persons, it's just a little bit too much credit to this group of people or one person. And actually, in your recommendations, especially in the kind of comment concerning FIFA and others, it's a very clear that you're much more concentrated and precise, and we could be much more effective if we're some kind of dealing with particular people rather than with the whole country and with the whole society. And also about this, kind of the eternal Russian imperialism, the nature of this. If that exists, Gorbachev would never dissolve the Warsaw Pact. Gorbachev would never allow the unification of Germany, but he did. Yeltsin would never withdraw Russian troops from Europe, and he did. Even Putin, at least in his early years of career, publicly was saying that he's for Russia joining NATO. It's another story what he has meant that time, but nevertheless it's a fact of life. So that is why I think we would be much more effective, we would be much more precise about the current stage with the current group of people. That is why to design the strategy, right strategy to do it. But my question would be about this exactly, the security arrangement from Moscow you have described perfectly, but what is the response to this proposal? Not from you, but from the current U.S. administration. Just look how many times Abkhazia and South Ossetia has been mentioned by the officials from the current U.S. administration over the last few years. I did not remember any single case. How many times U.S. administration has mentioned Crimea? Not a single case. Mr. Kerry traveled to Sochi, and unlike Mrs. Merkel, has not mentioned Crimea even once. So Mr. McFaul just recently in Kyiv has said, okay, Crimea is a done deal. And we know that Mr. McFaul has a very substantial impact on the current president and so on. So just my question is, and as Kerry has said also, just if you would stop in Ukraine right now, we would remove sanctions. So it looks like that that's an agreement with the security arrangement that Mr. Putin is proposing at the moment. So my question would be to you, and maybe also American Richard would contribute to that. What is your response to this arrangement? What should we expect from the current U.S. administration? What kind of response to what this proposal, to this offer from Moscow, from some particular people? Are we expecting any absent agreement with this proposal?
Do we have anybody from the administration in the audience?
No. I think that the administration's priorities have to do with the Middle East, not Eastern Europe, or the former Soviet Union. And I'm afraid that there will be a tacit, I emphasize tacit because nobody will dare say so publicly, acceptance of something along those lines. It's impossible to say what the details will be. There will have to be some, you know, face-saving measures and so on. But I think this administration does not have any policy worthy of the name policy for the area east of the Atlantic. It has disengaged from European security. I think it's a terrible mistake to leave the burden to Angela Merkel, no matter what her capabilities are, and to Germany. For a lot of reasons, and I don't think Germany is about to become a fascist or, you know, revanchist state, but it's still not, I think, a healthy situation. I have written, and you know, Mamuka and Richard and Marek and other people here know this, and I've said it, that there is no policy on the Caucasus and Central Asia. I published an article in the fall of 2013 saying there was nothing on Ukraine, a senior administration official said to me in February 2014, 2 weeks before the invasion, that the truth is we really don't have a Russia policy. I'm not sure they found it since. So I'm very pessimistic for the future. Now, the only thing I think we can count on is Mr. Putin's recklessness and his belief that he can, because as Alexei Arbatov has said, he said this, he was at the Shangri-La conference last week, and he was quoted as saying that the Russian leadership believes they can play with fire. No, I'm not quoting him directly, but that they can play with fire and not get burned. You know, they can ride out any crisis, they're tough, they're strongholds. This is the psychology of the Russian gangster and mafia, which is what this regime is in its essence. And they are, therefore, I think, to paraphrase Count Korchakov, liable not to know where to stop.
Yeah, just one more brief comment to your question about U.S. officials or former U.S. officials sort of acknowledging a certain reality in Crimea or elsewhere. I think over the long term, it's going to be similar to the policy that the United States and many NATO countries had toward the Baltics during the Cold War, during the Soviet rule of the Baltics, where as a practical everyday matter, these countries were sort of part of the Soviet Union, but many countries refused to ever recognize the Baltics as such, and I think you're going to have a long policy in the United States, regardless of administration, that as a matter of policy, they will never recognize what's happened in Crimea, never recognize what happened in eastern Ukraine and in Georgia. Of course, just putting on a piece of paper is one thing, but actually backing it up with real efforts to change the situation sort of on the ground is a completely different question. I think that goes to your other question about why the administration is just not interested in these issues. I think a lot of it stems from the fact that this president was perceived, probably rightly, to be the first sort of Pacific president. He was the first one who was more oriented towards Asia by virtue of his upbringing and just his perspective. And I think that has had an impact on U.S. policy towards former Soviet Union generally, and particularly with respect to the Ukraine crisis.
Now, he put a lot of effort in the first term to improve relations with Russia and reasons. And I think, given what's happened, he just sort of lost interest. I mean, it doesn't seem to be really, it's not as their focus anymore. He's focusing on other areas.
I would also add to this that if you go back and look at the literature about the first term, when the reset policy was in position, Russian analyst, for example, Dmitry Trenin, writes that the belief in Moscow is that the reset policy amounts to a tacit acknowledgement of the United States of its mistakes up through 2008, leading to the Georgia War, and a tacit acknowledgement of, that this is your backyard. The fact is, as we've said, and there are many examples, we have no real coherent policy for any of these areas, and we're not doing anything here now. And Mick Fall, who in some ways is the architect of this disaster, I think expressed clearly what's happening. I mean, Fred Hyatt wrote in the Washington Post as the invasion of Crimea was going on that somebody in the White House staff said to him, "Well, Crimea has always been part of Russia." Well, if you have such ignoramuses making policy, what do you expect?